This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا والسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوصيكم بتقوى الله السمع والطاعة إلى آخر الحديث السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته InsyaAllah to all the sisters and brothers, we begin our class with the morning dua. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrabbilalamin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. Innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna. وبك أمسينا وبك نحيا وبك نموت وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا. We also make dua to our brother Abu Said who passed away last Saturday, and also to sister Nur Ayu bint Muhammad Saleh who is not well, Abdul Rahman Rashid also who is not well, and also brother Aziz Azizan, one of our old jama'ah. So let us make dua for all of them, inshallah. Firstly, we make dua to Abu Said, who passed away last Saturday. Allahumma qfil lahu, warhamhu, wa'afihi, wa'fu anhu, wa'akrim nuzulahu, wa'wasi' mudkhalahu, wa'khsilhu bilma'i, wa'thalji, والبرد ونقيه من الخطايا كما ينقى الثوب الأبيض من الدنس اللهم أبدله دارا خيرا من داره أهلا خيرا من أهله اللهم أدخله جنتك وأجره من عذاب القبر وعذاب النار اللهم أنت الشافع لا شفاء إلا شفاء اشفي هؤلاء نور أيوب بن محمد صالح عبد الرحمن راشد عزيز عزيزا يا رحمن يا رحيم يسر لهم ولا تؤسر لهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين. Brother Abu Said, who passed away on last Saturday after years of suffering of cancer, and he was flown back to Bangladesh on the same day after the funeral prayer here, because he was one of the very active Bangladesh leader here for the Bangladesh community. He had been with us for some time until he was having this problem. May Allah reward him for what he had been doing. And he had been very supportive members also, and his family. So happened I was not here when they called me. I was in Penang for a meeting. Well, we do command our team here to follow up, but they have made their own arrangement because they plan to flew him back so that they have some official army kind of arrangement back home. Yeah. Alhamdulillah. For the other sister or brother who are not well, we pray may Allah make it easy for all of them and make them have a fast recovery, inshallah. Yeah. That is life, brothers and sisters. One day every one of us who are here have to go back to Allah Rabbul Alameen. And Allah always remind us, yeah, that nothing live forever except Allah Himself, Hayyun Qayyum. But Allah also remind us to prepare for our future. Allah said, وَلْتَنْزُرُ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. Look into yourself. What have we prepared for our next life? We are here every Wednesday is to prepare ourselves. And the topic that we are talking about also about funeral, yeah, is so timely, is to also prepare ourselves. You know? For those who are sick, it's also part of Allah's qadar, and our duty as a believer, we must learn how to accept the qadar of Allah with the peace of mind. We must have the peace of our mind and our heart. And that's why we always ask Allah to give us a peaceful heart that will help ourselves and the doctor who are treating us. When you have the inner peace, it helps you a lot. But brother and sister, remember, as-salam belong to Allah. Allah is salam. That's why there is a dua that the Prophet remind us to recite after each prayer, the fardu prayer, Allahumma antas salam wa minkas salam. O Allah, you are peace. Peace belong to you and peace come from you. So one of the best way to attain peace is we must remember Allah. Yeah? Zikrullah. Allah bi zikrillah tatma'inul qulub. Allah is reminding all of us by remembering Allah in the way Allah wants us to remember Him, we will sure to find peace. Our heart will rest. But now we know life is full of challenges. We are tested. We like to entertain this, entertain that. We have our own way of doing things, but it's very important to have patience, humble, submit to Allah, do what is good for us by following the commandment of Allah and the teaching of the Prophet. Don't follow our liking. I know there's a lot of things that we like to do, but it's not helping us to become a better person. There are a lot of people we want to entertain, neither it will help us to get closer to Allah. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ did mention that if you want to please human, normally you will displease Allah. But when you please Allah, Allah will make you please others too. Yeah? Very different. If you look for akhirah, Allah also will give you dunya. But if you want dunya, Allah will give you dunya without akhirah. So which one do we want to choose? We want both. When you want both, you gear yourself towards pleasing Allah. Don't worry about humans so much, because there's no ending in pleasing human. The more you please, the more you get hurt sometimes. But if you want to be a better person, you must have the spirit of sacrifice. You must prepare to sacrifice your desire, your liking, to follow what Allah liked you to do and what the Prophet wants us to do. By doing that, inshallah, you will find a lot of peace. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever is having a lot of problem in their life, the first thing that Allah and the Prophet want them to do is migration. Hijrah. What is hijrah? What is migration? To change. When you are in a good place, don't move to the bad place. When you are in a good environment, learning about Quran and Sunnah, don't move to another environment and expose yourself to all the wrong thing. It's a waste of time. And also, it's not going to benefit us. This is how it goes. You must prepare to make changes. When you are in a good environment, that's why in the Quran, if you look in the Quran, Mumtahana, Surah Mumtahana, when the woman became a Muslim, and no man always been oppressed by the man, immediately Allah commanded them to migrate. And when they migrated, Allah said, we cannot allow them to go back to their old environment. Even the enemy will come with offers. Send her back to us. This is what we'll give it to you. We want her back. No. When the Prophet had the Sulhul Hudaybiyah, the peace treaty, but that law do not apply for women. That law apply for men only. When there are men who migrate, the men must be sent back. But the woman who migrate, they will never send the woman back. Why? Because the woman need extra protection. To show us that Islam put the woman in a very strong, high position, a very respected position, that you must protect them, honor them, like how you protect your mother, how you honor your mother. Because woman is mother figures. This is just a muqaddimah. You know what is muqaddimah, inshallah? Muqaddimah is just the introduction. But in the same time, brother and sister, every time when I start my class here, never once I fail to recite the ayat, ittaqillah. Meaning, the ayat, ya ayyuhallazina amanu ittaqullah, O you who have believed in Allah, it is very important for us to strengthen our iman, our belief with taqwa. Now, how to attain taqwa? The Prophet also said, one of the last reminder wasiyat from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his ummah that he loved so much. Even he was suffering with pain, he is going to go back to Allah. He is going to die as how we will die as a human. But he never forget to remind his ummah that he loved so much. What is the reminder? One of the last reminder from the Prophet to his ummah, ittaqillah. Usikum bitaqwallah. And then he continued, as-sam'ah wa ta'ah. Be a good listener, and when you listen, what is right, just obey. That's all. We have been listening, but how many of us have respond to what we know by obeying and act upon what we have to do? This is the level that we have to look into. May Allah make it easy for all of us, brothers and sisters. Nobody is perfect here. We all admit that we are all sinners, and Allah loves us to acknowledge that we have sinned. Our eye commit sins, our ear commit sins, our tongue commit more sins, and other organ also. But Allah, remember, all forgiving, all loving, all merciful. He's always there for us. The only thing that you must make sure that you do not commit is shirk. Yeah? Always remember, stay away from shirk. We have to reconfirm. I think today we should be on page 19. Yeah? Page 19? Good, alhamdulillah. 15? No. Yeah. We have gone. Yeah? We have passed 15. For every one of us who just joined our class, you are not very far away. You know? You say page number 19. Alhamdulillah. Yeah? Under the subtitle of What to Do for a Dying Person. Yeah? We did discuss about the final instructions and will. Meaning, as a Muslim, we should always try to prepare ourselves. Especially when we have debts. Do we all have debts, brothers and sisters? We may owe Allah, but when you owe Allah, Allahu Akbar. The prayer that you missed when you were young, once upon a time, you have committed a sin, yes. But that prayer, Allah did not want you to pay back. What Allah wants you to do is repent. That means you start to pray 5 times a day and don't miss your 5-time prayer. Allah will forgive the past sin. Khalas. Because there is a daily obligation. It's a very heavy thing. But Allah has been very kind and loving and merciful. Even we have not been worshipping Allah when we were young for 10, 15, 20 years. Allah still guide us and we are back to Him. And now we have been praying, alhamdulillah. Fasting, yes, you have missed your fasting also. Many, many days. Yeah. Maybe from the 80s. Yeah. Because we are young. When you are young, you are very energetic. You love to eat, you love to drink, you know. You love to challenge, you know. Allah said this, you say that when you are young. When our children become teenagers, then we will have more challenges. But for that sin, Allah allowed you to redeem. For prayer, khalas. For fasting, either you pay a day for a day, or you redeem with fidyah. This is your debt with Allah. Clear it. How to do it, if you don't understand, you can come to us. We will give you some guideline and then you know what to do. If Allah gives you the option to redeem by paying fidyah and you still do not pick up this offer, meaning you are ungrateful to Him. In return, He's going to give you Jannah. What is that? For you to pay back a day for a day, it's not easy. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is much easier, even one full month, than fasting outside Ramadan. Why? Because everybody is eating and you want to fast. Oh, that is very tough. Yeah? About zakat, the same. You have missed all the zakat that you have to pay. You fail to purify your income. You know, you do it. You do not know. Come to us, we will check with you. Reconfirm, we got you, and you do it. Don't delay all the things that you owe Allah when He gives you an option. Don't delay any. Fastabiqul khayrat. Anything good, be hastened. Don't say, okay, I will do it. When? Inshallah, soon. How soon is soon? Your soon and my soon may different. Yeah? And how soon we are going back to Allah also, we don't know. Yeah? So we have to do it as fast as possible. About your Hajj, we have a lot of money, alhamdulillah. We have been traveling to Switzerland, Europe, this honeymoon, that honeymoon, the honey sun here, everywhere you go. But when I come to Mecca, I was not invited yet. When do Canada invite you? When do America invite you? When did Hollywood invite you? But you know how to plan. But if you come to Allah, I'm not been invited yet. You have to invite yourself. As a Muslim, you have to plan. This is what you owe Allah. Once in your lifetime, you have to do it. For those who have made the Umrah, Alhamdulillah, then your next plan is Hajj. Actually, one only once in your lifetime. If Allah give us the energy, the help, inshallah, we try that every year we were going to guide a group of people to perform Hajj. Yeah. Even this year, inshallah, yeah. If the health is there, the energy is there, inshallah. Hajj is an ibadah that needs a lot of movement. They are more practical than just recitation. Yeah. But those who have finish their Hajj, Alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Hajj, Hajj Mabrul, and reward us with Jannah. Ameen. Think that we owe Allah, you clear it. Think that you owe someone, you also have to clear it. Don't delay anymore. What to do for a dying person? When death approaches a person, everyone will be approached by death. Those in his presence, we who are dead, are required to do certain things, as described in the following paragraphs. Prompting with the Shahada. The most important thing for us to help a dying person is not to say pity you, patient, of course, he has been very patient. No, at that point of time, you don't go and recite long, long surah. They cannot, yeah, I would say that they cannot focus anymore. And you see how practical Islam is. He should be gently but firmly prompted to the dying person to say Shahada. That's the only thing you have to do. Somebody is struggling, sakaratul maut, in pain. Don't go and recite Quran. No, too long. And the Quran at that point of time is not important anymore. You know the dua that we always ask Allah every morning when we have a class here, or every time when we start our class? The Usul Thalasa. Usul Thalasa. The three basic important thing that we must remember. Who is our God? Allah. Raditu billahi rabbah. What is our religion? Al-Islam dini. And who is your prophet? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Raditu billahi rabbah wa bil islami dina wa bi muhammadin nabiyya. We always recite this to prepare ourselves, because this is the only thing that Allah will question us when we go down 6 feet below. The day of judgment, the resurrection day, then there are more questions. How do you spend your life when you were young? Allah will ask us. He never give us 40 years, 50 years to play around. There is a mission for you in this life. What do you do with the 40 years and 50 years of your life then? Allah will ask us. The energy when we are young, Allah will ask us. What do you do with your energy, the young age that Allah has given you? Well, I'm very busy. I go up here, down here, you know. I go swimming, I go there. So many sports I engage. Okay. But do you spend time for Allah? Do you establish your prayer wherever you go? Allah never said you cannot go for camping, you cannot go for outing, you cannot have fun. But when the time for you to pray, do you pray and worship Allah? That's all. Allah is going to ask us. And the third thing, but Allah will ask us double, is that how do you get your money? We make money. A lot of people are working very hard, looking for an income. Yes, no problem. Allah wants you to work hard, but what kind of job you engage in? Halal, haram, this is where Allah is going to ask you. After you get the income, halal income, Allah question you again, how do you spend your income? How do you spend it? Allah will ask you. Then last one, Allah asks you about the knowledge. The knowledge that we have learned, what do you do with your knowledge? The more you learn, the more you become judgmental to others, then you have problem. The more you learn, the more you improve yourself. Purify yourself. Your heart, your mind, and your body, inshallah. Now, when a person is dying, those who are around him should gently and firmly prompt them with La ilaha illallah. Just La ilaha illallah. That's why they say Shahada. If La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah is called Shahadatain. When Shahada, just one. La ilaha illallah. There is no true God except Allah. That is what you have to remind that person. Now, not only a Muslim, anyone who is dying, your friend, your family member who are not yet Muslim, and you are there, don't just leave them and do not prompt them with La ilaha illallah. Maybe if Allah wants to give hidayah at that point, can you imagine? The minute he recites that and he goes back to Allah, all his sin has been forgiven. Just by saying La ilaha illallah. This is called the Arabic word talqin. And that is where the word talqin come about. Abu Sa'id al-Qudri, one of the companions of the Prophet, and Abu Hurairah, and others, that means not only two, the majority of the companions, reported that Allah's Messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Laqinu mautakum, la ilaha illallah. Man kana akhir kalami, la ilaha illallah, indal maut, daqala jannah yawma minanda wa in asabahu qabla zalika ma asabah." Prompt or remind or teach your dying one to say La ilaha illallah. Anyone who concludes his speech or her speech at the time of death with La ilaha illallah, just La ilaha illallah, will enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. This is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Regardless of what happened to him or her prior to that. That means whatever you have done before this, to Allah, who are Ghafur Rahim, all forgiving and all merciful. Even you are somewhere, suddenly there was an accident in front of you. And you are there, close to the guy or to the sister who is suffering now, he may die anytime. While waiting for the ambulance, what should you do? What should we do? At least we do not know whether they are Muslim or not sometime. But prompt them. Say to them, brother or sister, don't forget to say, La ilaha illallah. Say La ilaha illallah. Slowly. Slowly. Whisper to their ear. But a lot of people got panic. The very important moment that can save a person from hellfire is just to say La ilaha illallah. And we are so panicked. Thinking of this, thinking of that, shouting, ambulance, help, Now, okay, somebody will do that. Someone who is close to him or her, hold his head. Oh, but he's not my mahram. At that point in time, you don't think about your mahram. You think about saving a soul. Yeah. But we missed the opportunity. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said again that Prophet Muhammad said, "Laqinu mautakum la ilaha illallah. فَإِنَّ النَّفْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ تَخْرُجُ رَسَحًا وَنَفْسَ الْقَافِرِ تَخْمِنْ صِدْقِهِ كَمَا تَخْرُجُ النَّفْسُ الْحِمَارِ." Prompt your dying one to say, "La ilaha illallah." Indeed, a believer's soul departure is easy, like sweating because of this statement. You know, if he was a believer before, he's been a Muslim normally will memorize this. And then when you say it, you prompt, easy for him to respond. We don't want him to call mama, papa, no more. At that point of time, we must remind him, la ilaha, papa, mama, we will take care. Yeah, my daughter, my baby, my cat, my flower, that one we take care. You don't have to worry. You just say, la ilaha illallah. Said, la ilaha illallah. Is that easy, brother and sister? Remember that. Actually, the true way of talqin, taught by our Prophet, practiced by the companions, the Sahaba, and the great four Imam, is to prompt a person before dying, la ilaha illallah. Not after death. But we always do it after death. After death, Allah said, "Innaka la tusmi'ul mauta." And Allah said again, "Innaka la tusmi'ul man fil kubur." Ya Muhammad, not you or me. Even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You cannot make the dead hear you anymore. You cannot make the person who is in the grave hear you anymore." Allah said that. Then how can you teach them? What you should do, you teach the one who's living, who is there near the grave. Remind them. He have gone back to Allah. We may have to follow suit later on. Each time when you attend a funeral, brother and sister, is a reminder. Is a reminder. You are next. But we also forgot. So busy, and we can still talk about dunya and politics near the graveyard. And we can even talk about business near the graveyard. This is considered people who never reflect. Lahum a'yunun la yusiruna. They have the eye, but they see the grave. They just witness the burial, but never reflect. Like they are blind. It's time for you to reflect. Now, you have all the friend, all the money before. Where goes the friend now? Yeah. Do you think anybody want to bury his money? No way. If you have a gold ring also, you take away already. Yeah. If you have a diamond ring also, gone. Diamond is not forever. Yeah. It's just a word. Your deed is always forever. Yeah. Just reminder. Indeed, a believer's soul will depart. It's easy like sweating because of la ilaha illallah. Allah make it easy because when a person can say la ilallah before he died, you know what is going to happen. The angel of mercy will come. And all the other angels would praise this soul and ask Allah to bless and forgive this soul. So why are you worried? You're ready. They will bring this soul up. Because the angel of death has a mission to take the soul and have to present it to Allah Almighty. He don't have to do what Allah knows, but he have to go back to Allah. Say, this is the one. Back to you, O Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajun. From you, this soul came, and to you, he must return. Present it. Allah said, send him back. But the angel have been praising this soul, asking Allah to bless and forgive this soul. There's no worry anymore. Inshallah. Yeah. But then the soul of the disbeliever depart from the sight of his mouth, filthy and noisy like a donkey soul, suffering. Yeah. He knows the person who is going to die have seen certain signs. We can't see. And that's why he don't want to go. He know he's going where. He know where is he heading. He's seen. He don't want to go. And he's struggling. But the angel of mercy is no more there for him. And when the soul has been pulled out, the prophet said, the angel of the heaven and the earth will curse this filthy soul. Because there is nafsul mutma'inna and nafsul, what? There's one nafsul what? A very destructive nafs. What is that? Nafsul ammara. The very corrupted, filthy soul. Whose mind feeling everything he think is dunya, dunya, dunya. Those who don't have a car before, you work very hard to have a car. I start my life, and most of us also start with that, with bicycle. More very healthy transportation. Good for the knee, good for the muscle, everything. Yeah? Then as we grow, we saw somebody have something better than a bicycle. We work hard to make a migration from bicycle to scooters. I have a bike for more than 20 years. And that bike is so good for to me that I don't want to abandon him until he abandoned me. You know, to the extent that I still can ride, but that bike is the bike where I carry two of my children. Then in three passengers. And then go uphill when I was alone, I have to use my leg. There's a very old bike, you know. I use my leg to force the bike to go up because the engine is too old. Until he said, enough is enough. We work hard, we move again, we get car. Allah have given us so much. So what do we plan now? We have to plan for our akhirah. Time for us to plan for our akhirah. Yeah? Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Man mata wa huwa ya'lam annahu la ilaha illallah dakhla jannah." Now please understand this saying of the Prophet is very, very important. Whoever or anyone who dies knowing that la ilaha illallah enter Jannah. Not just reciting now. Knowing what is la ilaha illallah. And that's why when you recite, you teach somebody to recite, make them understand what is la ilaha illallah. Every time anyone want to be a Muslim, yeah, alhamdulillah, today is what day? Wednesday. See, as we age, day also we forgot. There's now Sister Fauzia, so happens saw I holding some flower. Oh, Valentine's Day. No. It's a flower sent by our young sister all the way from Australia. No. She's still there. One of our revered sister. No. Still remember us. Remember all the good sister here who have been helping her when she was with us. Also a revert. Send some flowers to the sisters. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. Now, anyone who dies knowing that La ilaha illallah enter Jannah, that's why we must remind the people. Last Monday, we have two conversions, alhamdulillah. In the morning, we have a Japanese and Chinese mixed brother. And in the afternoon, we have a sister's. You know, home restaurant in Tamantun, Yusuf Lau, his sister became a Muslim. Allahu Akbar. Yeah, it's Allah. Yeah. When she was here, nobody know whether she's ready or not. They just want her to talk to me. So we have more than an hour discussion. She was very worried whether she can accept, she can follow. No, she's a very good sister. And another sister, our old student, was her old friend, but cover. And she, of course, who is not yet a believer, is normal. So I don't know I can dress like this or not. I'm worried. I said, you accept Allah first. This one will come slowly. There are so many Muslims also dressed like you. But they are Muslim. I know how they feel. You know, they are worried because whether they can follow this religion or not. I say this religion is so simple. It's here to free you from all this worry about what people say, what your friends said. You must worry about yourself. But we cannot force you. Another round. Alhamdulillah. Allah make her open her mind, her heart. She's ready. Shukur, alhamdulillah. But I must remind her, not just say, Ashhadu an la ilaha. You must know the meaning. That by saying La ilaha illallah, meaning you are declaring there's no other God that you are going to believe after this, except only Allah. Nafi wa ithbat. La ilaha illallah, brother and sister, have two parts. One is nafi, you deny. Second is isbat, you confirm. So you cannot accept both. You must deny what you believe first, abandon all that you have believed before, and then you only confirm one, Allah, the true God. Then you are a Muslim, inshallah. And again, the Prophet said, when you became, or you recite La ilaha with understanding, Dakhala Jannah. The reward from Allah is Al Jannah. Jabir bin Abdullah reported that Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, Man mata la yushrik billahi shay'a dakhala Jannah. Again, the Prophet is telling us, anyone who died joining none with Allah enter Jannah. The only thing that will stop us from entering Jannah is shirk. That's why all the hadiths talk about the danger of shirk. Even you have done a lot of good deeds. You have been so kind. You have done a lot of donation. But if they are ending with shirk, then you know where are you heading. Do you know, brother and sister, one thing that may happen to us among our family members? It's very scary. Alhamdulillah, we are all believers. But one day, if your son, your sibling will come to you, your children say, Mom, Dad, I'm no more a Muslim. Don't talk to me about Islam. Don't call me to pray. Don't call me to fast. I don't believe in this religion anymore. Mom, but he is Abdullah. His name is Fatih, her name is Fatima. But he is telling you, please don't call me to pray. Please don't call me to do this. I don't believe in Islam anymore. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? The worst thing that is going to happen when they die. And we know they have make it clear to us, no, I'm not a Muslim. But the public do not know. Their uncle do not know because we are shy to tell them. We don't want. But what are we going to do, brother and sister? Do we wash their body? Oh, big problem. Are you going to lie to Allah? Even our prophet loved the uncle Abu Talib, but Abu Talib do not accept Islam until the end. He can't do anything. He just stay away. He cannot get involved. His beloved uncle who helped him so much, he can't do anything. Prophet Abraham loved his father Isaac, but the father refused to accept Islam until he died. He can't do anything. But what will happen to us? If you have a family staying with you, if they don't stay in with you, it's quite easy. He died, just don't be around. You can't do anything. Because your presence creates more fitna to you. You cannot pray for him. You can't, because he said to you, they are not Muslim. But those who are going to do what they have to do is because they look at his IC or her IC, Muslim. True or not? You don't want to interfere, somebody will go. The authority will come in, check identity, Muslim. But you and me, who knows, what are we going to do? This is very, very scary sometimes. But if you try to play or use your wisdom to say, no, it's up to Allah, you cannot do that. It's not easy. It's like our family who die as a not yet Muslim. We can be there, but we don't participate. But they know they are not yet Muslim, it's easy. But when your family, our born Muslim family, have that ending, may Allah protect us from all this great fitna. The prompting is not done by merely uttering the shahada in the presence of dying person so that he would hear it. Rather, he should be commanded and helped to recite it himself. Yeah. Anas reported that Allah's messenger visited a dying man of the Ansar and said to him, Ya Khal, Khal la ilaha illallah, oh my maternal uncle, said la ilaha illallah. The man asked, am I your maternal or paternal uncle? The prophet replied, Khal, maternal. He asked, is good for me to say la ilaha? He replied, yes. It is apparent from the hadith that the man was slightly at loss of reason, as he was most interested in knowing the relationship to the prophet than saying la ilaha illallah. Yet the prophet was keen to make him say it, and in the process answered his other question. The prophet is focusing on that la ilaha. He was focusing in other things. He wanted to know, what is your relationship with me? That is not important. But the prophet will also respond to let him know that you are my maternal uncle or paternal uncle. So an example, if they want to. So for us, when you do that, if you know that person and the person know you, you say, I am your friend. Here, I am Fatima. I am Aisha. Yeah, you must let, because they, inshallah, remember their friend. If you are the son, you are the daughter. I'm your daughter, papa. Your daughter, name so and so. Never mind, you have to say it so that it will help them. Because sometimes they are confused who to follow. They don't know. In reality, brother and sister, we and the Salib, you know the Salib? They are doing that like how we are doing too. You know? That's why they visit hospital, the sick one, and they remind them. The Lord cannot save you. Salvation. Salvation. They do the same thing because that's what they believe. But we know if anybody die committing shirik, khalas. We can't even pray for their soul anymore. We can't. The Prophet want to pray for them. Allah said no. Ibrahim want to pray for his father. Allah said no. They have made a decision. Leave them with Allah Rabbul Alameen. Now, this is important if you look at this earlier part. It's not enough we say to them and then let them listen. They must say. If they respond and you are the witness, you can confirm he or she is a Muslim. Even the law do not allow you. Because documentation is not there. Yeah? But you, with the name of Allah, you swear that I hear he or she said, La ilaha illallah. Then you can come to us and tell us, no. He or she have said that we will gather a people and do Salatul Ghaib here. We can pray for them. We have done this before. So when you visit any of your friend who is in a critical condition, don't forget before you leave them, if they still remember who you are because you are their close friend, they may listen to you because you are close to them. You are there to show that you care. And then you are there to show that you really love them so much. You do not want them to end without La ilaha illallah. And then you tell them, my friend, you know that I mean well for you. Just say, La and follow me. Understand the meaning. Billion. Now you have 1.8 billion Muslims will pray for your soul every single day. You don't lose anything. Nothing to lose now. By saying La ilallah, you have so much to gain. Billion of people will pray for your soul without spending a cent. Where can you get this kind of blessing? Just say La ilallah. And they say, of course you cannot fight. Oh, you're a Muslim. Where are your document? Nobody will entertain you. But at least you know what you can do. We cannot wash his or her body. Their family won't allow. There's no documentation. Don't fight. Let whoever want to do, we do our level best. That's what the Prophet done. Don't show them how ugly this religion is. Everything you want to fight. Fight for what? You create more fitna. They must say, everybody must recite. If a person can recite on the behalf, then the Prophet should have recited on the behalf of Abu Talib. Abu Talib, no. Okay, I will say on your behalf. La ilaha illallah. Now you're Muslim. No, you cannot. They must say by themselves. Can you imagine if I can teach the dead? If we can teach the dead now, we can go to the graveyard of our father who died as a non-believer. Father, you remember me, I'm your son. I'm here to declare Ashhadu Allah on your behalf. Now I say you are Muslim. No. Everything you do it here before they die. Once they are dead, you cannot change the qadar. Now you leave it to Allah Almighty to make His final judgment. But Allah said, I will forgive all sin except shirk. Allah did say that. Yeah, you can commit an ocean of sin, but I will forgive, except shirk. Yeah. We'll come back to you later on, inshallah. Yeah. Supplicating and saying good things. When we visit a dying person, one should supplicate sincerely for him and make it easy. May Allah make it easy for him to recite La ilaha illallah. May Allah give him a good ending. All these are good words. Yeah? May Allah forgive his sin, strengthen his iman. Ya muqallibal qulub, sabbit qalbahu ala dini wa ala ta'ati. Oh, the one who controls the hearts of every one of us, make his heart steadfast so that he can remember Allah and obey Allah even the last minute. Yeah, that's why Allah Rabbul Alameen and the Prophet always said to us, وَالزَّاكِرِينَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا وَالزَّاكِرَاتِ عَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ مَعْفِرًا وَعَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. In Surah Ahzab, Allah said, male and female who always remember Allah a lot, yeah, in good time and bad time. Number one, Allah promised you He will forgive all your sin. And number two, He will give you abundance of reward. Great reward will be offered to us, inshallah. When visiting anyone who is dying, one should supplicate sincerely for him or her and say good things that give him glad tidings, good news. This is covered in our discussion of sickness. In the early book, Salama reported that Allah's messenger said, إِذَا حَضَرْتُمْ الْمَرِيدَ أَوْ الْمَيْتَ فَقُولُوا خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ يُؤَمِّنُونَ عَلَى مَا تَقُولُونَ. When you are present with a sick or dying person, say good thing. Don't go and talk to them about politics anymore, about economy, about GST. They don't want to know all these things. You put more pressure on them, you know. Just talk about goodness, you know. Alhamdulillah, all your children is okay. You know, don't worry. Now you just, you know, think of Allah. Think of Allah. Remember Allah. They are big now. Everybody is okay. Even not okay, tell them okay. Good news. Don't share with them problem anymore. You know, your son just came back. No, well, astaghfirullah al-azim. You want to kill him. You want his blood to shoot out and pressure, and then suddenly got another heart attack. No. Just good news. Don't worry. Everything okay. How is this? How is that? No problem. Everything is praying for you. No? Yeah. Remember Allah. Just do that. Because the angel endorses what you say by saying, Ameen. And that's why we always remind all the good brothers and sisters, wherever you are, when the teacher is doing a prayer, he said, may Allah bless us all. What do we say? Ameen. Because the angel also will say Ameen. Any good thing that you say is a prayer. So don't be too selfish that you want to say Ameen also you don't want to say. That means you don't want goodness. No, it's just like somebody come and visit you, say, you know, may Allah bless you. Ameen. You don't have to, Al-Fatiha, and then Ameen. No. Very simple, you know. May this food, that you eat, give you, make you more healthier. Ameen. Anything. Train yourself, brother and sister, to say Ameen. Be light, Make it very light, And your tongue that you can even say it anytime. But when anybody say bad thing about you, don't say Ameen. Quiet. Deep inside yourself, astaghfirullah al-azim. Astaghfirullah. It's good for people to remind us, but astaghfirullah. Yeah. Important. This is how a believers respond to good thing. Anything good, Ameen. You encourage, you love people to say good thing. The same thing you say good to others when you see them. Yeah? Especially when people is down, bring them up. Don't press them again. Bring them up. If they forget to say Ameen, remind them. Say Ameen. See, the word Ameen is so simple, but so difficult. Yeah. I witnessed this few times, I think I shared with you before. People who are dying, I said, La ilaha illallah. Difficult. They just move their face. I shared with you what happened to Ahmad al-Hanbali. You remember the story? Imam Ahmad al-Hanbali, one of the greatest imam who specialized in hadith. And you have his book collection, yeah, of hadith, Ahmad, Sanad Imam Ahmad, Musnad Imam Ahmad. He's a great scholar, one of the friends of Imam Shafi'i, our great imam. MashaAllah. When he was going to die, according to the son, the father is so sick, is dying. So the son keep on reminding his father's, Father, say La ilaha illallah. No. No. With the will of Allah, he got well. And then the son was shocked, asking his father, something strange happened to you. When you are dying, I thought that you were going to leave us. You're in pain. I keep on prompting you, La ilaha illallah. You said no to me. Imam Ahmad said to the son, you know what happened to me at that time, son? The Satan is prompting me. The Satan was saying to Ahmad, leave your religion. Follow me, I will save you. I said no. Allah give him, yeah, that blessing that he can see. It's true. The Prophet did say that when we are going to die, shaitan will come. This is the last battle. After that, he cannot disturb us anymore. He cannot follow us until the grave, no more. Only here. So he was sent. The strongest Satan will come. This is the last battle. Either we fail or we pass. To make sure that he will not remember Allah. How do the shaitan prompt you? If you love something so dearly more than Allah, at that point of time, he will prompt you with that. If you are a person who love your brother, love your sister, love your husband, love your wife, love your children, love your money, love your car, then the car will come. He will show you the car, beautiful, shining, gold-plated. Then your car. So you die with your car. But if you love your cat, you give a good name, Cathy, then you go Cathy. You can love all these things, but don't let the dunya enter your heart. Your heart is full of love with Allah Rabbul Alamin. That is what we have to develop. Yeah? Then you see a good ending, inshallah. Yeah? So it's not easy. I've done that, but someone I've done, from them, they just said, La ilaha illallah. You can feel the whole room is being blessed. The tranquility, sakina. Yeah, Allah sent it down. Because the angel also were blessed. So don't give up. Yeah? Even to your friend who are not yet Muslim, don't give up. If our other brothers who have the salib never give up, how can we give up? Don't give up. You can save a soul. But after they say that, don't go and argue. Leave the matter, and then we do what we can do. It's very easy. Yeah? Islam still show us and guide them. So the Prophet told him, O Allah's messengers. Yeah, this is an hadith that I want to end. Ummu Salama added that when Abu Salama died, she went to the Prophet and told him. Who is Abu Salama? Yeah. The husband of Salama. Yeah. Good. Oh, Allah's messenger, Abu Salama has passed away. He instructed her to say, Allahumma kfilli wala wa aqibni minhu uqba hasana. Oh Allah, forgive me and him. Who said that? Who said that? The wife. Yeah. It's good you ask, oh Allah, forgive me and also him, and succeed him for me with that which is good. Yeah. That means we always pray for the best. Even you don't like somebody, but don't say it out. You must remember, brothers and sisters, relationship a husband and wife. You have been together 10 years, 20 years. You have good time. Lot of good memories. Then something happened. Mistake committed done by people who are so close to you. You felt betrayed. What should we do? What should we do? Do you curse a person because of 1, 2, 10 mistake when you have good time for 10, 20 years? No. Don't do that. They have been so wrong, but they have been so good to you too. Why don't you look at what is the good thing that have happened? Why you just focus on something that every human world be tested and sometimes they fail? But being human again, if you are not strong, you don't get good environment, you always get upset, angry. 20 years of goodness you forgot because of 2 mistake done. Is that what happened in our life normally? Yeah. Not to all of us, inshallah. So be wise. If Allah is so forgiving, so loving, why must we become so mean? We also have our own weaknesses. So we have to work very hard. Get close to Allah Rabbul Alameen. Even we don't like something in somebody, recall the good deeds of that person. It helps us a lot. It do help us a lot. Avoiding sinning and innovations. People present with a dying person should avoid, the present with a dying person should avoid acts of disobedience and practices that are not substantiated by the authentic sunnah. Example, it's common for us to go there and recite Surah Yasin. And turning the dying person to face the direction of Qibla is not necessary yet. Yeah? Wherever he is, no problem. If that is condition like that, let it be. Even though there are no authentic hadith supporting them, these acts are frequently done by the relative and friend of dying people. So if you are in control in your house, anybody come and want to do this, please say, thank you for the good intention. They don't know what is authentic or not. So now we'll get somebody to explain to them what to do. We have to guide a lot of people today. It's a challenge. Zurra bin Abdurrahman reported that he was visiting Sa'id bin al-Musayyib rahimallah, during his fatal illness. Also present was Abu Salama bin Abdurrahman. Sa'id fainted at some point and Abu Salama ordered that his mattress be moved to face Al-Kaaba. When he regained consciousness, Sa'id said, "Did you move my mattress?" He was told yes. He looked at Abu Salama and said, "Was this done with your knowledge?" He replied, "I instruct them to do it." Sa'id then ordered that this mattress be moved back to its original position. Meaning, if people want to have this belief, that belief, if there's no authentic hadith to confirm, you don't want them to do that. To you, to make sure that those who have the knowledge of what is right, what's wrong, you see something people is doing not right on you, you must correct it. You cannot just leave it, let them do what they want. If you are in control again, that means now you're aware, you're conscious, why they do this? Oh, because they believe that maybe there's the blessing, a sunnah, there's no authentic hadith, you change. When you know they are trying to do something with good intention, I believe it's in good intention, but they don't know whether it's a sunnah or not, and you know it's not a sunnah, you make changes. Why? Why you make changes? Because you do not want to end your life committing an innovation. When you have the right to make changes. Yeah? This is important. When you have the right. Yeah? Meaning you are still able to decide. If you are unconscious, you're fainted, or nobody, you can't do anything, they'll just do anything they like. But when you are awake again, you see them doing something, tell them, don't do this. And that's why the wasiat is important. Today's world, before anything happened to you, brother and sister, you are here to learn about the Quran and Sunnah, but not your children and not your husband. You understand, they don't understand. You want Sunnah, they don't know what is Sunnah. Normally, the majority say, follow the majority. Everybody is doing this, so why must you go against that? That is what normal people will say to you. When you don't have the knowledge, that is what you will do. Follow the majority. Follow the norm. But when you have knowledge, what should you do? You must be guided with your knowledge. There's a difference between people of knowledge and people who don't know. Allah even asks us, "Hal yastawi allazina ya'lamun wal lazina la ya'lamun?" Do you see the difference, or is same between people of knowledge and people who have no knowledge? Cannot be same. But the way thing is going on is like the same. If like people come to me and say, "Can you help to do akikah for my baby?" I say, "No problem." But coming to the hair, we have to shave. "No, no, no, cut, cut. No, you know, so fragile, so young, no. No, no. The Prophet said, shave." "No, no, cut, cut." I know people cut. "Cut, I don't do. Cut, not here. I don't cut, cut one. I want shave, shave one. Finish." I have to tell them the truth. I cannot say, "Okay lah, cut pun cut lah, lagi senang." No, no, it's not right. I will say, "The Prophet said, shave." The Prophet now said, "Cut." If the Prophet said, "Cut," I cut. That's how it goes. You must make them understand. If you are in control, you have to do it. So you must tell them what is allowed, what the sunnah. Or they bring coconut, you say, "Coconut, I love to drink, alhamdulillah. No, I bring it to my kitchen. I don't know, cut and put the hair in the coconut for what? Coconut is not cheap now, 4 ringgit. Allahu Akbar. This is something that we must be aware. Make a wasiat. Make a wasiat. If people don't follow our wasiat, you are not to be blamed. there the living will have to answer to Allah. How bad we are that we dishonor the right of the person. Presenting Islam to not yet Muslim. It is permissible for a Muslim to visit a dying not yet Muslim. This permission is conditioned by the absence of any sign of shirk or act or disobedience to Allah. With this condition, the visit is recommended if it is expected to present a real chance of da'wah for the dying person or those in his presence. Anas reported that a Jewish young man used to serve the Prophet. He was very kind, helpful to the Prophet. He visited him in his fatal illness. When he fell sick, the Prophet was aware of this young Jew, and he visited him, sat by his head, and said to him, "Aslim, Aslim, embrace Islam, embrace Islam." The boy looked at his father as if to take his permission, and he told him, "Obey Abu al-Qasim." Abu al-Qasim is another name for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a kunya, yeah, because he have a son called Qasim, named Qasim, and he normally the kunya Abu al-Qasim. So he did, and then died. Of course, not Aslim, and then the Aslim is to prompt him, and then he was ready. Then the Prophet gave him shahada. Then the Prophet, after confirmed that he died, not on the spot, later on, the Prophet was so happy that he had made shahada, he left, then he passed away. So the Prophet said, "Alhamdulillahillazi anqazahu minan nar." Allahu Akbar. All praise be to Allah who has saved him from hellfire. Last minute, never give up. We have good friends who are not yet Muslim. Sometimes they are better than so-called Muslim friends. So don't miss the opportunity to give them a helping hand, give them a hope, save their soul. He then commanded his companions, "Sallu ala sahibukum," pray janaza for your companions. And this, the mayat was not in front of the Prophet. Yeah, because there are so many other things to handle, so the Prophet never interfered in the mayat. Neither he was praying with the funeral in front of him, no. He was praying Salatul Mayat Ghaib. Salatul Mayat Ghaib performed by the Prophet only twice in his lifetime. One is this young Jew, the second is the king of Ethiopia who passed away. And the king's family do not know, the nation do not know, buried him like a Christian king, but angel came and informed the Prophet that he have made the shahada. So the Prophet command the companion together, and they perform prayer without the body in front of them. And this only been done by the Prophet when it's confirmed nobody perform prayer for that soul. Like now you have your family member went for Umrah and they die in Makkah. Do you perform mayat ghaib? You pray for their soul. Allahumma filahu warhamhu. Like the Prophet said, when somebody passed away, you say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un." Then follow with, "Allahumma filahu warhamhu. Istaghfiru li akhikum." Prayer for the without the mayat in front of us only apply to when you are sure nobody perform the prayer. Because the companion times, the Prophet's companion die. A lot of them die outside from Medina, and the Prophet are aware the Prophet never performed Salatul Mayat Ghaib on them. The Prophet just pray the general prayer, because Salatul Mayat Ghaib will automatically dissolve when somebody have performed it. InshaAllah. So may Allah bless us. If there's any question, we open for Q&A now. Fatafaddal. Sister Fawzia, yeah. collect girls' bodies. Okay? Okay? Adopted by Muslims. Okay? Okay. Okay. When you say that lady or that girl adopted by the Muslim family, yeah, is there any document, legal document, to prove that she become a Muslim? Yeah, I know. If there's any document, normally when there's an adoption, they should have some document. Yeah. Normally if we have that document, we have the right to protect our right. They must honor. Wallahu alam. That's why I'm saying, if they don't have it, yeah, if the law allowed them because they have the document, then they should not, yeah. I'm just saying. Yeah. Because everybody have to honor the law. You know, not yet Muslim also must honor, we also must honor the law. Yeah, if we don't have all the documentation to prove, yeah, then of course there's a gray area. When the gray area comes in, the Prophet always guide us, "Da ma yaribuka ila ma la yaribuka." Stay away from gray area. Leave it. When you say stay, leave it, gray area. But when it's a clear cut, I personally believe, yeah, normally when a Chinese family offer their children to be adopted, they don't interfere in them. By right, they should not. This belongs to another family. You see? So normally, through my understanding, a not yet Muslim, when they give their children away, they do not want to cause unrest to the child too. They have peace there. They have a mother who take care of them, a father figure. They want happiness for the children. But we do not know why. Suddenly, when this lady passed away, this girl passed away, now the parent, so-called, is coming. We are worried. Today, there's a lot of confrontation going on. No, I want to create an issue. Yeah? It's not healthy at all. It's just like what happened about the brush, you remember? Yeah, the brush that people say is from the pig hair. Example. Now, if you know that Muslims are very particular about haram thing, if you want to do a business and you are using that, you make it clear. This is from the pig hair. If still people want to buy, nobody can blame you. Because I make it very clear. It's like no people say vegetarian. Why you say vegetarian? Because you have to cater for people who are vegetarian. You don't want them to eat something. I'm sorry, huh? Got meat there. Huh? Now you tell sorry, yeah. I thought vegetarian, you say vegetarian. See, example. I mean, in business, I believe even the Chinese that I've known, they believe in honesty is the best policy. But if the problem started from us, may Allah forgive us. But if the other party just want to create problem, it's not healthy. Let us have the understanding. Yeah, lakum dinukum waliyadin. Very clear-cut Islam. What is yours is yours. What is ours is ours. Did we interfere in any of their ritual? We don't, because there is there. But when something come to us, why they like to interfere? I also don't understand. I'm trying to understand. Now, inshallah, may Allah. Now. Okay. 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 And when you came to West Malaysia,
yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Okay. Muslim, okay. Okay. Yeah, their duty.
I see.
Yeah, if that is how, that's what happened, yeah, then the Muslim have no wisdom in handling this issue. They have no wisdom. It's not just showing your authority. Yeah, it is very sad what is happening sometimes, because we have all have good intention, and that's why we always say when we want to make a person a Muslim, we want that person to acknowledge and inform the family members. The best if the family member can come. Why? When you do all this kind of thing behind their back, actually, in a way, we have betrayed that family. He sent their daughter over. See, maybe there's a Muslim macam orang kata exchange program, you send your go over there, and then somebody going to make your daughter a Christian. What are going to happen to you? I don't think you are going to leave this in peace. You are going to fight all the way. Okay, because you have no idea. I send my daughter away, and this is an exchange program. Yeah, between this country and that country, they may send their children to us. We are the family, Muslim family, except a not yet Muslim student. This is going on and off. But if a person wants to be Muslim, you must make sure that he or she is ready to inform the family. Don't betray them. Today, the world is not like before. People are very hostile. No way, they declare war. No, they just want to know. At least honor the right of the parents. The parents have right upon the children. The children have right upon the parent. Why can't we do that? There are so many ways to do good things. You want to do something good? Find the best way. Why not? You don't know how to do? Send it to us. Inshallah, we know what to do. We can help. But in that is the situation, we have made a big mistake. Of course. Yeah, of course. So that's why I'm saying that when you are not wise, you don't act according to the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah. Allah have called us to use wisdom. Wisdom, where is our wisdom? Where's our wisdom? We also can, if you want, we can talk to the parent. Actually, your daughter have make shahada, she's a Muslim now. So when she's a Muslim, normally we as a Muslim have to do this. What do you think? And then don't fight. If they refuse, we can still negotiate another thing. Like what happened before, when people came to me about a man died, heart attack. His friend all know that he was a Muslim, but not his wife and family. He is working here, he died here, and the family is in another state. So they inform, there's no document for this, no document. Just make shahada and pray with their friend, alhamdulillah. But now, because sometimes we also are not particular about this. Masuk Islam, shahada. Then he also accept, alhamdulillah. Now, when he pass away, they have to inform the wife. So now this brother is talking to the wife. You know that your husband is a Muslim already? The wife said, no. What I know, my husband is so and so. He never informed that he's a Muslim. What I want is only you all to send his body back to us, and we have to do the final rites. Now the Muslim was very good. Tell her, but he's a Muslim. Can we do what we can do for him here in Kuala Lumpur? The wife, very understanding. What you want to do over there, you do. After that, send the body back to us. Is that okay? So beautiful. That means you can wash the body, make kafan, pray, put in the coffin, send back. Over there, we don't interfere. Because there's no document. But she was prepared to allow you to do what you think is right. Since you are the friend, you say this. But what happened? Nobody arranged that. They asked the people, they said, no document, I cannot. We can't do. When do they ask me? After the funeral, the dead body was on the way to Penang. Then they call me. Stas, what do you think? I said, what do I think? Where is the Maya? Maya on the way. What to do? You want to call the van? Hey, turn back. You turn. I said, let us do Salatul Mayat. Right. That's all. But she have given us the right. So understanding, you want to do your washing. From there, you do. Come back to me. I will do mine. But still, we have a lot of problem. Actually, it's true. We do not know how to use the wisdom that Allah has given us. We just want to show authority. I think the latest issue, there was one about Khalwat case. You remember? Do you hear about Khalwat? Also, we don't know what is happening to all of us. May Allah bless us, guide us, forgive us, inshallah. Yeah. Sister, yes. I can't hear you, can you? I don't hear you clearly yet. The
near my object. Yeah, you can help to repeat. They don't have the time. Now, that is why when there is a funeral, normally what we will do, those who have the knowledge will be there, and while they are washing the body, here you must educate the people how to pray. It's not difficult. We have been praying the normal prayer. The first takbir, you recite Fatiha. Everybody have memorized that. The second takbir, you recite the salawat. Everybody who perform prayer have memorized that in the tahiyyat. The third takbir, only you make a dua for the deceased, for the dead. Then, the third one, if you cannot memorize the whole, the long dua, memorize the short one. At least you say, Allahumma qfil lahu, Allahumma qfil laha. Meaning, may Allah forgive his or her soul. That's all. Wait. Now, this is for those who do not know. We can remind them, I think in 10 minutes they know how to pray. But no, the salah is just standing, no bowing, no sujood. Just say, Allahu Akbar, then recite Al-Fatiha. And then Allahu Akbar, then salawat Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali until the end. Then Allahu Akbar, then you recite Allahumma gfirlahu or Allahumma gfirlaha. That's all. For those who can memorize the whole one, you recite the whole one. Those who can't, do the minimum. The minimum, the Prophet said, istaghfiru li akhik. Ask Allah to forgive the soul of your brother or sister. Yes? Yeah, all this, inshallah, they have to learn slowly. Somebody will be there. It's like me, when I became Muslim, of course I do not know what to recite. But first, I will learn the movement. I start to follow. When a Muslim is praying, I pray beside them. Learn the movement. Then later on, I pick up the recitation. That's how you develop. Everything starts from zero, but inshallah, when the interest is there, you will improve. The more time you spend to learn, the faster you memorize. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. We have all these activities here. Individual can help here. Yeah? Now, coming to those who are working, no, and they are far away, are you going to wait one by one to come back and then you start the funeral prayer? The funeral is not for you to delay without a good reason. Since the children is far, one from Canada, one and booking, it take another 2 days to arrive, you don't wait for them anymore. They just can pray from there, but not salat janazah. Make a prayer for the deceased by saying, like what we done early, we pray for the brother from Bangladesh. He was buried there, but we can pray, Allahumma gfirlahu warhamhu. Not the normal salat janazah, just a dua. Yeah, inshallah. Last question. Wait, see other people. So, one, two, three. They have asked. Wait, we see the other sisters. Okay, okay. Sister Fauza, let her. Let the sister Zarina. Now, Fadda. No. Okay. So now of course. Correct, correct. And also those who honor the wasiat. Yeah, it's very important. Of course. Of course. Because the dead are aware about what can happen. So he was well prepared. Correct. Correct. Sadaqah jariyah and all these things, yes. This is the knowledge you have that thing can happen, so you make it very clear from the early stage. It's just like the wheel. If you don't put the wheel, then other people cannot benefit from what you have. But the wheel is written not more than one third, and then the right is going to go to the person that you will for. So that is why you do that, you have extra reward for that, because you are well planned. Correct. No. Yeah, because the Prophet said the best, the important thing at the end. Why you say like? Because this is what the Prophet said. No, sama juga. That because he have accept what the Prophet said. The Prophet himself is like to the Jews. The Prophet said, say, and then he accept. He never said Muhammad Rasulullah. So we also can do that. By doing that is sufficient. But if you still have doubt whether he accept Prophet Muhammad or not, then you can remind him. Yeah, that you can remind him both. But according to this general hadith about what happened to the Jewish youth, the Prophet also never said to him, say Muhammad Rasulullah. You see? But he have acknowledged Prophet Muhammad. But now to us, this person may not know about Muhammad. So do you think it's good to remind? Why not? Nothing wrong. But if a person just can say, La ilaha illallah, according to the hadith. No. Other hadith to say, you must add Muhammad Rasulullah. No. But the real shahada for people who are still alive, then you make shahada, the both Muhammad Rasulullah. The shahada ta'in. Yeah. It's good for us to have the understanding. But the shahada ta'in actually, you should have been talking to them before they are dying, before, you know, Muhammad Rasulullah, let them know who is Muhammad, this great man that a lot of people are aware of him, but some people just do not acknowledge him. Because of our doing. Because the Ummah is not setting good example that caused a lot of fitna to our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ending the last one, Allah did remind us. فَرْيَحْزِرِ الَّذِينَ يَخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ أَنْ تُسِيبَهُمْ فِتْنَةً أَوْ يُسِيبَهُمْ عَزَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. How true the words of Allah. Allah warned us, don't do anything against the sunnah of the Prophet. By doing that, you cause fitna. We are the cause of the fitna today. And because of the fitna that we have caused to Islam, until people is cursing the Messenger of Allah because of us, walahum azabun alim. Allah said, I am going to punish them. Because the beauty of Islam, the best character of the man on earth, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is being abused, humiliated, because of our own doing, the fitna we create to this religion. May Allah bless us, may Allah guide us, and may Allah forgive us. Sister, there's one sister Fawzia still working very hard, raising her hand. Last one, Sister Fawzia. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet have make it very clear. Kulluhum fin nar. So whoever is the last minute, yeah, because they end with the right ending. No. If here is very clear from the Prophet. The 73, the Prophet said, "Kulluhum finnar illa," except one. Is that clear? So this is what the Prophet said. And then now people get confused. Which group is the safe group, the right group? The Prophet said, "Ma ana alay washabi." The way that people follow, the way I want them to do, and who follow my companions. That's what the Prophet said. So if you want to be in a safe group, you just have to follow the sunnah and how the companion practice the sunnah. That's all. But if you decide to choose other out of ignorance, it's up to Allah's mercy to forgive you. But if you know the truth, you purposely stubborn, you don't want. I show you one simple example. Shaitan. Do shaitan know who is Allah? Yes. But what caused him to suffer? He do not want to prostrate to Adam. Okay? And Allah just said, prostrate, that's all. He chose no. He decide not to do. But he believe in Allah. He believe in Jannah. He just stubborn. It's not that he don't know. He knows. Shaitan knows very well. If he want Allah to forgive him, so simple. Make sujood. Once only, not every day. Just one sujood. With knowledge. Arrogant. Abba. Was takbara. No. Just one. Because you do not want to obey, openly you declare, no. Yeah, then you have problem. Of course. You have no right to say no. What you can say, "I'm sorry, my iman is still weak. Inshallah, one day I'll do. I know this is wajib. But you know, my iman is weak. May Allah forgive us." I know that. People are talking, my heart. Dalam. Dalam important, not luaran. That's why I was very upset. They keep on saying, "Then you pakai baju dalam, tak payah pakai baju luar." You save your money, you save everything, you know. You don't feel right, but how can you? But dalam saja. You always talk dalam. Don't waste the money to go the luar semua. I just example. But you see the difference between I don't pray, yeah, I'm not praying now, then the difference, I don't believe in the prayer. I can't apply hudud yet, then I don't agree with hudud. Oh, that means you disagree with Allah. How can you be a Muslim when you disagree with Allah? So if majority are saying things out of ignorance, they do not know, may Allah forgive us. Allah ghafur rahim. You got that? Inshallah. May Allah bless us, reward us. Subhanakallahumma bihamdi. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.